Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Hello, welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm Rhonda McBride, filling in and having the pleasure to host Talk of the Rock today. We are going to be talking about pandemic journeys. And, you know, what are you going to say to people 10, 20, 50 years from now if you're alive to tell the story about this worldwide coronavirus pandemic? Unlike the flu pandemic that swept through the world in 1918, you know, we'll have lots of videos around and news articles to sift through. And also, stories from a group of students in Kodiak who spent the summer in a video workshop called Culture and COVID-19. And we're going to share some of the work of the students today. They are going to have a virtual screening of their videos. And for KMXT, they recorded some essays to give us a preview of what these videos would be about. But joining me now, the teachers of this workshop, Maria Chima and Rafael Batanga. And we're using technology here to try to get these interviews, and we're hoping that all of this comes together. Greetings to both of you. Can you hear me, Rafael?
Yes, I can.
So, Rafael, tell me a little bit about how you came to teach this workshop, because as I understand it, you took this workshop yourself back when you were in middle school.
Yeah, I guess it's coming to full circle. I took the class back when I was in seventh grade, and Marie was then working with another teacher as well, and I became an intern at the Quebec History Museum. I fell in love with just documentary filmmaking, and then just this past year, I connected with Marie, who was the instructor back when I took the class, and I heard I'd love to bring it back to Kodiak, and we were both on the same page. It was just a coincidence, something that has no explanation behind it, and that's why I became a teacher for the course.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I mean, a testimony to how wonderful a program is when students come back to teach it. So I think one of the things that we're going to do and get started with is to play some of the essays that we have that the students came to KMXT and recorded. And I want to start with one from Scout DeVries. You know, because first of all, we want to tell people that this workshop was directly affected by COVID, that everything had to be taught online. And so it took a lot of dedication to stay with this process online. And Scout DeVries is a Kodiak student who is about to start the eighth grade. Her documentary is about the Black Lives Matters march in Kodiak. And in this commentary, she talks about the convergence of COVID-19 and racism and how they made her want to stand up for humanity.
George Floyd's death was the moment when something in me snapped. I only saw a short clip of his death, and yet I was disgusted by how someone could be scared or worried that their life was in danger just because of a person's skin color. Color is not a crime. I found it sickening that someone would rather kill a person than put down their ego and work it out. I've always been aware of perspective, and I've always understood that something needs to change for all people to be treated equally. But it wasn't until then that I was an active anti-racist, and I'm still working to get there. The book lover in me told me that the best first step was to start reading books from Black authors in a Black perspective. After reading those books, I felt so inspired to make a difference. I guess I felt like we needed more unity and power among all of us to make a stand and tell the world that it's not okay to discriminate someone for the color of their skin. George Floyd's death was also the straw that broke the camel's back. Even in the height of a pandemic that was new to everyone across the globe, protesters risked their lives to stand up for people of color. My mother and I showed up to the Kodiak Black Lives Matter march on a sunny afternoon, June 4th, 2020. Because of the COVID pandemic, we wore masks to do our part stopping the virus. Around 300 people, adults and kids, gathered for the same cause to show their support and demand to be heard. "White silence is violence, and this is America" were signs that encouraged us to go forward with the march, even though there very well could have been people who didn't support the cause. Most of the people driving by honked in support as we marched from the high school all the way to East Addition Park, where people were encouraged to share stories of racism. What really brought us all together as a community was when one man led us in song, "Lean On Me." The majority of the crowd sang along. I never felt so empowered to make a change for Black lives and people of color in my entire life. The fact is, not all people are treated equally. Being a young white woman reminds me of what Nia Priestess said, that a young white woman doesn't have the same experiences as a young Black woman. Without perspective, we'd never learn anything, and we wouldn't have a community where we're all treated equally. I've begun to realize that there's racism everywhere. People have called out for it to stop for many years, but I haven't been listening. But now I am. Books, movies, and songs have all inspired me. There's a limited amount of things that I can do as a child, but I can keep doing what I've been doing. Read books, listen to people's stories, hear songs, watch movies, and feel inspired and encouraged to make a change. If anything, the pandemic only amplified the voices of humanity. See, during this pandemic, people's voices, whether they are speaking love or hate, are mostly heard through a screen. When a person's voice is shielded behind a screen, it's most likely amplified. We don't see who we're affecting with our voices, thereby not necessarily caring. Out of sight, out of mind. So, now that we take away others' reactions to our words, what will happen? Well, we can say whatever. We can say words to support marches and protests in support of Black Lives Matter, or we can say some pretty nasty stuff. It's incredible what technology will do to you. The pandemic has been making people spend a lot more time on their devices. And since Black Lives Matter is a significant addition to everybody's conversation, a lot of haters are saying their piece. Through it all, in the end, it's your choice. It's your words and your opinion. How will you stand up for humanity?
Well, it sounds like Scout is doing a pretty good job of standing up for humanity. Just remember that she is only going into the eighth grade. So this is pretty amazing. Rafael Batanga, the co-teacher of this and also a former student in this ongoing series of summer video workshops, does an essay like this sort of reaffirm your belief in youth?
Most definitely, and I think that this class itself and the instructor from the very beginning and the partners that the instructor chooses to be with, I think just really the focus is on youth, and it made me believe in myself when I took it. And now as an instructor myself, it makes me believe even more seeing it come to full circle.
And we should probably take time out to mention all of the people that helped make this video workshop possible. The Alaska Community Foundation Social Justice Fund, the Charlotte Martin Foundation provided financial support for the summer workshop. And it was all led by the Kodiak History Museum, as well as you, Rafael, with your own company now, Batanga Productions, and Maria Chima with C. Stories. And hopefully we'll be able to talk with Sarah Harrington from the museum shortly and Maria Chima. But we are using technology just like you did your online workshop. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how that went for the kids.
I guess with anything technology, we just choose to believe in it. And because of the power that it can provide, I know there were ups and downs, but we just had to pivot our way of teaching. And I think as good instructors, we always need to know how to meet the needs of our students, whether that be trying to find another person who can provide us with a computer or somebody who's willing to provide a service when, because both Marie and I were not there. I'm now back in Ithaca. So teaching 5,000 miles away was pretty difficult, but we got through it.
Broadcasting from your college dorm room, it looks like. So tell us about where you're going to school and understand that you got a scholarship there.
Yeah, I'm currently studying hospitality administration at Cornell University. And this semester, I finally had the opportunity to actually continue to develop my filmmaking. So I'm currently enrolled in a filmmaking class slash production. So hopefully that'll continue to I guess, give me the opportunity to be able to give back to the students, not only in Kodiak, but to any community I'll hopefully be a part of in the future.
All righty. Well, now we have Sarah Harrington from the Kodiak History Museum joining us now. Sarah, why do you think that the museum really wanted to have kids document this? I mean, you could have gotten a group of adults together. Why kids?
Well, that's a great question, and I think Raphael has kind of alluded to the answer, is just that, you know, it's a really great way to get our younger generations involved in the significance of history and recognizing that their story matters, too. And so for us at the Kodiak History Museum, we've been kind of, you know, re-envisioning what our goals are, and it's really focused on the sustainability of storytelling in this community and involving younger audiences. And what better way to do it than with a bunch of extremely capable, talented, well-spoken kids, and giving them the opportunity to learn while they're doing it too.
Well, Sarah, we're going to hear more essays from the kids, and they're apart from the video. They were done kind of in preparation for the videos that'll be screened this afternoon. But just from what you've heard on the essays, are you impressed?
It's really incredible. Both Margaret Greudert, our curator of collections, and I were able to just join a session in the earlier part of the class and give them the welcome. And we just got like a really brief introduction to each topic that each student had chosen. And we were so impressed, just like you were saying, listening to Scout there, it was really wonderful to hear what's interesting to these kids and what matters to these kids, and to be able to give them a platform on which all the things that are really meaningful and significant to them can be recognized and heard throughout the community.
Well, we have an essay that we're going to play right now from James Baristoff. He's going to be starting the ninth grade. And, of course, this pandemic caused a sort of a cultural reawakening for him and motivated him to learn more about his Aleutic heritage. And he now says he has an appreciation of his culture.
I grew up barely knowing my Aleutic heritage. If I'm being honest, all I knew was that I was Aleutic, and that was it. That is, until I visited a summer camp, Dig a Fognak, that is located around Lipson Point in a Fognak. You arrive to camp on boat. The camp was fun, and people who manage the camp try to make it enjoyable. We got to learn about Aleutic culture through activities that we did, which was when I started to learn more about my culture for the first time. It was exciting to actually get to know the culture because I grew up not knowing about it. And it was an honor to be able to visit the camp and meet more people who are like me. It was unfortunate that I and others weren't able to visit this year in person because of COVID-19. I just thought it was a fun summer camp to visit and to learn about my history. But then it struck me, the Aleutic culture was basically wiped out, so the camp was trying to teach us about the culture in hopes that it is not forgotten and won't be lost in history. Now that COVID is here, I realize that the diseases were a big part on how Aleutic people suffered in the past, and how important it is to protect our Aleutic communities and elders. Something else that I learned about the camp is that they call it Dig a Fognak because it was once an archaeological dig site. We were trying to dig up artifacts to learn more about our culture. The culture was decimated, so we had to dig up artifacts from our own ancestors to learn about them. Can you imagine that? Another thing that surprised me was when I went on a trip with my family and friends. We visited the Smithsonian National Museum, and we saw Aleutic artifacts such as a coat made out of gut and a kayak. It was like seeing into a past that I didn't even know existed. This moment made me realize that we don't even have our own items from the past, and the museum knows more about the culture than I do. You can never be bored at Dig a Fognak because of all of the activities you can do. These activities consist of kayaking, bonding with other people through board games, doing outside activities like tide pooling, beach walking, and going on swings. We also simply eat meals in the kitchen, take time in the day to learn the language, go on hikes to different places on the island, dance, and do our own Native Youth Olympics. My favorite Native Youth Olympics competition is seal hopping, where you basically go into a plank position, but with your hands in a half of a fist, so your knuckles are on the ground instead of your palms. And then you hop to move forward. Digofognak is an amazing camp with amazing people, where you will create a bond with the people and the camp. Even though it didn't happen in person because of COVID, this pandemic teaches us that culture is fragile, but we are also strong, and we can go through these tough times. I got the chance to talk with Tana Scholl, an Aleutic artist and educator, and she reminded me that humor is one of the core values we have as Aleutic people, and that humor is one of our many cultural values that can help us get through these challenging times.
And that was James Baristoff. He's going into the ninth grade here and one of the interns in the Kodiak Culture and COVID-19 Virtual Documentary Internship Program. And joining us, Marie Achima, who started this program. She's with Sea Stories. When you hear voices like James talking about the importance of their culture, what do you feel?
Rhonda, I'm trying to keep it together over here and not just weep because, you know, everything he said was so authentic to him. We hear cliches about the importance of culture, but James brings us back to how much it truly means to him and his journey. And when he says culture is fragile but also strong, it just makes me think of all of us going through this time and trying to connect with ourselves and our cultures. And it's hard, but we can do it. So very inspiring.
You know, I was inspired by almost every essay, and they evoked a whole range of emotions. One of the things I'd like to ask you, both Raphael and Marie, and maybe we'll start with Raphael, what kind of an evolution did you see in these kids? You met with them, what, four weeks, three times a week online. Did you see any personal growth?
I definitely believe so. And that's, again, in terms of the community, understanding of the community, understanding of their families, because there are students who spoke about their families as well, and understanding of their own selves. And to me, coming into this is figuring out how can I be an educator and make them feel what I felt as a seventh grader, to be empowered that my story matters. And I think that I was able to see that not only through the film that the students have created, but also through their voices in the narratives that they've created.
Well, Marie, did you see some kids come out of their shell, so to speak? I mean, were they raring to go, or did they have to be drawn out a bit?
I would say some of both, because there's an inherent awkwardness in meeting virtually and trying to build relationships through a screen. And even though it really was a self-selected group, we got to know each other and it took time, but they opened up tremendously to each other and to themselves. And I think actually having that recording session where they recorded their stories at KMXT was really critical, because they got to, with social distancing and masks, see each other face to face. So that was very exciting.
But they wore their, I want to point out for people that might be concerned, while they were here, except for when they got in front of the microphone, they did wear their masks. And one of the things that struck me about these kids in some of these essays is how absorbed they are in social media. I mean, how much it was a big part of their lives. And I want to take time to hear from Joseph Ocampo. He was a student who is very absorbed in media. He starts the 10th grade. And before the quarantine, you know, there probably wasn't enough time in the day for him to get in all the social media he wanted. And then suddenly, as they say, be careful what you wish for. Joseph Ocampo. We're having problems with that essay, so apologies for that. But we've got one, I believe, from Jude Villarroya. No, I'm sorry, Amara Tamu.
I have five siblings, and I'm the third child. Before the pandemic, I wasn't really close with my mom because she was always busy with work and family things. I was also busy with school and teen court. However, the pandemic brought my mom and I closer. During the pandemic, we did things we never done before, like talk about girl stuff, go shopping, and cook dinner together. There was a day in the kitchen when my mom said she would teach me how to make her homemade hamburgers. I smiled, with my eyes wide open, as she listed all the spices and ingredients. The kitchen was a storm, but I did learn how to cut up onions. Of course, I cried a little bit. The garlic salt and the other spices filled our two-story house as we relaxed and became truly present in the moment. We talked about my grandmother and how my mom would always go to her for help or when she needed something, like how I am now. This special moment really gave me the chance to know that my mom is always there for me. After cooking, my family tried it and enjoyed it. The burger was so juicy and had so much flavor inside. And the melted cheese and the warm toasted bun was so delicious. We were eating our dinner at our dining table in the kitchen. And after that, we cleaned up and went to the living room and watched some TV all together. Although there are many negativities to the current pandemic, I am thankful to have learned how to cook dinner for my family, get closer with my mom, and learn about my family history. Even though COVID has made life tough and frightening, I've discovered that it also has its blessings, giving us precious time with our loved ones we would never had without it.
And that was Amara Tamu. And she was one of the students, she's going into the ninth grade, who you said you had to draw out, Marie, as I recall in an earlier conversation, and that you were just very surprised that this was such a heartfelt essay.
Well, I have to say, I wasn't necessarily surprised because just meeting Amara, you feel her heart. You feel how much she has inside. But then I was in the sense that she was reserved at first and just getting comfortable with the group. And her words just cut right to the heart of her relationship with her mom. It was very moving.
Yeah, these essays are very heartfelt in the end, even though some pepper them with humor. But how did the videos turn out? Because I know this afternoon we're going to have a chance to see those.
The videos are amazing. We did a lot of one-on-one kind of screen sharing editing sessions so that we could do this virtually, and they're great. There's a range of styles and topics, and we're so excited for 4:30 today when we'll have our virtual film screening.
How exciting. Can you give us a little taste of what we're going to see this afternoon if we tune into your virtual screening?
Absolutely. So, you know, their stories are actually a hint to what's to come because their stories were crafted around their film topics. So Amara interviewed her mom about her experience with COVID and through this quarantine pandemic time. Scout did a documentary on the Black Lives Matter March on Kodiak and interviewed several community members for that. Joseph chose to document gaming in COVID because that's a passion of his. So we have the west side of Kodiak fish site and COVID documentation. So we have a real range of topics. It's pretty amazing.
So how are we going to be able to watch this?
Well, I think you're going to watch it through Zoom. I won't say the whole passcode to enter here, but I believe if you go on both to the KMXT website, the Kodiak History Museum social media, or the Sea Story social media, you will see all the information to log in there. Rafael, would you have any more insight?
I believe it's also shared on Friends of Kodiak if you are on Facebook.
Wow, that will be something I know the Friends of Kodiak page will just be delighted to have. The other thing, too, is you can go to our KMXT website, and we have the instructions on how to access the Zoom. Just look for our story about the COVID and culture workshop, It was posted there just a couple days ago, so it has information on that. Now, I want to play one more essay for you. And Marie, this is from your son, Chabo Achima. And he and another boy named Luke, who are what, they're only fifth graders, did some essays. But we want to play Chabo's essay. It's about his love for his friend, Luke. So here we go.
To get to fish camp, he has to take a very small charter plane called a Beaver. It only fits two passengers and one pilot. Then you land in a town called Larson Bay. My favorite part of the bay is a culvert filled with pink salmon. It's the first place I go fishing every time I land in Larson Bay. It's also my favorite place to go fishing for pink salmon, otherwise known as humpies. Me and my friend Luke love to fish at the same place, and we think the same way. It's like our minds were melted together when we were born. Luke is a week older than me, but we are the same height. We have been friends since we were 6 months old and lived together for 3 years, and that helped us bond together for life, eternity, and longer. Luke is my best friend in the whole wide universe. Fish camp is a place where you can express any emotion, a place where you can unwind and meditate, and most importantly, you can sleep in, take naps, and the pancakes won't be cold, and you can go fishing. Fishing is my favorite thing to do at fish camp, even though you can take a sauna, bounce on the trampoline, go see the orca swimming, go beachcombing, drink hot cider and hot chocolate, and eat Nutella crepes. This summer, I needed fish camp more than ever to get away from COVID, quarantine, and school being over Zoom. We all need a place where we can just be ourselves.
Well spoken. We all need a place where we can just be ourselves. And I think that's kind of one of the problems with the pandemic is we haven't been able to be ourselves. You know, we do have one more essay to play for you, and we hope that the technical problems are solved with that. This is Joseph Ocampo talking about his obsession with media.
It was another day at school, waiting for the bell to ring at the end of the day. The sun was shining into the room, which made it hot. After waiting out the last few minutes, the bell had finally rang. I walked out of the class and linked up with my friend, and we walked down to our lockers from the fourth to the first floor. I didn't use my locker for my things, so I did the next best thing. I put a lot of milk in my locker. We got on the bus and started the trek home. During the ride, I could feel the heat of the sun from the windows getting absorbed in my hair and clothes. I was feeling tired and finally made it home, where I instantly turned on my computer and logged in before getting into bed to take a nap, relieved that school was over for the day. Once I woke up, I started gaming with my friends for the rest of the evening. Sometimes I play with 6 or 8 friends, but this evening it was just 3. We played Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege for hours, sometimes up to 8 hours. On the weekend, I have more time to play, so I go for 14 hours, with some breaks. My eyes are used to it, so they don't get tired anymore. Usually, I'm dumping on the enemy team in no time. What I didn't know is that soon, I would have more time to play games than usual. Spring break was approaching, and the teachers told us we might have to switch to online school with COVID-19 about to hit the U.S., which I didn't believe at first. When online school started, my friends and I obviously took the opportunity to play games while we were doing school. Sometimes I miss seeing my friends in person, but other times I feel like I can connect better when I am gaming. Now that we've started to get together, sometimes with social distancing, I feel extra grateful that I get to visit in person.
I guess you don't know what you have until it's gone, visiting in person. So, Marie, I believe that Joseph, at least when I watched him here at the station when he recorded this essay, was one of the shyer kids. So it was kind of nice to see him come out and express himself.
Absolutely. He did a phenomenal job, and we got to learn all sorts of cool stuff about him along the way. Like, he's built 3 computers all by himself. And yeah, he's amazing.
And what's his, give us a little preview of his video.
Well, I think the amazing thing is that he got to create a documentary about his passion for video games. And, you know, what a hook. So he interviewed a friend, actually two friends, and a teacher about gaming and how it's transformed during COVID. And so he has some great B-roll, and it's a fun one.
And B-roll is the TV term for cover footage, the different scenes that you put in a story. Well, Sarah Harrington, I want to go back to you. So we've got this smattering, the spectrum of kids that are going to go into your archives. What do you think about that? What will it say? How will future generations look at this?
You know, that's a great point, because so oftentimes I think our community thinks of our museum as reflecting mostly the colonial era or early American era. And the truth is that every little bit of history matters, and it's not always or often until people pass away or a significant amount of time has gone by that people think about contributing their stories and artifacts to the museum. And so we're really excited to be able to add these in, you know, and have a broader range of topics that people can talk about or research when they come to the museum. One of the resources that the kids pulled from is the Day by Day project, in which community members are submitting snippets or articles, documents, all in digital form of their experience as well. And so we're really excited to be able to bring in this program as part of our broader vision for our collections and the services that we provide for the community.
You know, I think just personally, having just absorbed so much news about the pandemic, that really we haven't heard a lot from kids. And I remember recently looking at a book by Tim Troll from Bristol Bay about the Bristol Bay flu epidemic. And of course, there was a doctor who treated the children who were orphaned and in fact started the orphanage, and he was an amateur photographer. So these photos were taken in 1919, 1920 of these children that were orphaned. And you see their faces, they're so powerful. You can read in their eyes what they must have been going through to have lost their parents. And, you know, I almost wish that we could have heard the voices of those children, but I guess we can't. But do you think that that's important, that the museum is hearing from young people, you know, what in its little time capsule for tomorrow?
Absolutely. When you look at this, just like you're saying, when you look at the stories of the previous pandemics and how it impacted upcoming generations after that, you think about the establishing of orphanages and saying, you know, it really has a significant impact on each generation. And that's part of the broader puzzle, too, is to think about not only the way it affected us, but others as well.
Well, Raphael, what do you think we're going to come away from after we look at these videos? Let's say I won't be around 50 years from now. I wish I could be to see what would happen. But 50 years from now, when people look at these videos produced by these wonderful students from Kodiak, what are they going to say? Or what do you hope they will say?
Yeah, I think that in anything that, at least in what I do and what I hope to be able to impart in the students, is to, in that photographs and videos allow us to rewind, reflect, and rejoice. And this is something that I told you before when it comes to these. And there are a lot of negative things that are going on with the coronavirus, as well as positive things. So I just want to be able to give to the future and have the videos that these students have created to then continue to live on, to allow us to remember and never forget.
Marie, what do you think?
I would like people to have a really dimensional perspective on what happened right now. And, you know, a lot of inequities are being revealed by this pandemic. And I would like this project to be a small part of addressing that and changing the narrative.
All right. And just before we go, let's recap the times and how people can join in on this virtual screening this afternoon.
Is that me, Rhonda?
Yes, Marie. Why don't you tell us how we do it?
Perfect. So you're going to log on to Zoom. Maybe many of you have been doing this a lot. Some of you, not at all. And once you log on, you're going to have to enter the meeting ID. And you can find that meeting ID in a variety of places. You can find it on the KMXT website under the Culture and COVID article. You can also find it on Friends of Kodiak. Rafael made a post. You can also find it on the Kodiak History Museum social media sites, as well as on the Sea Story social media sites. So we hope you are able to tune in. Everybody's welcome. We're encouraging folks to bring a candle to light in solidarity with the student voices.
All right. Well, that sounds like something very special. Once again, give us the time so we're sure to not miss it.
Oh, so sorry. 4:30 today, and it'll end at 5:45. So 4:30 today, Alaska time. It you can tune in from anywhere, though.
That's, I suppose, the beauty of a virtual screening. Well, I want to thank Rafael Batanga for joining us. He was a co-teacher in this project, as well as Sarah Harrington from the Kodiak History Museum, who helped shepherd this project, as well as Marie Achima from Sea Stories. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us. And thank you, our listeners, for helping us share this story with others. And that'll do it for this edition of Talk of the Rock.